Okay, we're going to get going here. Okay, the button has been hit, so you are being recorded. Let's start off with Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, well, we're returning to the Ethics Commission after a long summer. And let's go straight to Carla for your ethics thought.
Why, I have a good one I've chosen today. History shows that where ethics and economics come in conflict, victory is always with economics. Vested interests have never been known to have willingly divested themselves unless there was sufficient force to compel them. B.R. Amdekar, whoever that is. But, yeah, that's probably pretty true.
Yeah, that's one to pass around. Okay, well, let's go to the minutes. So please take a few minutes, if you'd like, to review the last minutes of our joint meeting with the True Commission. Any comments on the minutes?
What's this?
I just want to make sure for the record, OGC was present. I wasn't, but Johnston covered for me, and I don't. Unless I'm missing something here, I don't see it. I wanted to make sure that there was Office of General Counsel presence, and Ms. Paige Johnston had covered for me. I was on anniversary at that time, so.
Excused absence. Okay, so Kirby, can we?
So if someone that could move for that amendment, or I don't know.
I didn't draft them. Jeff Clements did. They've already been approved by the Truth Commission.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks.
Any other comments? All right, motion for the minutes with that change. Anyone?
So moved. Oh, second.
Yeah. All right, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. So moving on here. Carlo, do you have an update from the ECHO office? Thanks.
I do. And, you know, the last month has been very intense with the budget. That's just the city shuts down. Everyone kind of focuses on the budget. And I sent an email to everybody. We're excited because Kirby got a raise. And I'm really, yeah, pleased because it's commensurate with her ability. She's been a tremendous asset in the last year and a half to the office, just really amazing. And she's been helping a lot with OGC and drafting legal opinions and working with the State Ethics Commission. So I was really very happy for that. And the City Council also gave us funds to hire a part-time assistant for the office, 25 hours a week, which will make a really big difference. So as soon as the budget goes through October 1st, we're going to put out the notice and, you know, we're going to make it open for anybody in the community. If you know of any good applicants, it'd be perfect for someone that doesn't want to work a full 40 hours, you know, someone that wants to work with good people and on a great cause. Anyhow, so I'm very pleased because that will take, like a lot of the clerical type functions that Kirby and I should not be doing, and we'll have someone. So it's very successful. And the Inspector General's office was also successful. They got two extra positions. They also got a part-time clerical person, same salary, same 25 hours, and a junior investigator. So that brings their staff up to 9 people, which is a good size IG office. In fact, larger than most counties in Florida. So that was, and for the first time, and you know this from my emails, we got funding from the independent authorities. They voluntarily came together and gave $120,000 to the IG's office and $20,000 to the ethics office voluntarily. So all very successful, good progress.
And on that funding stream, do you expect that to continue in the future?
It's a two-year agreement, and it's actually interesting. I when you have the inspector general have to go out and raise money with the independent authorities, but then the next month they could be knocking on the door saying we got an investigation. It's not quite the optimum situation, and we were talking about a stream of funding like contracts or a percent of contracts, which is more independent than going around trying to raise the money, but at least it's handled for 2 years. And nobody said anything about the ethics, funding the ethics office, because we've been to every independent authority, training their boards, training their employees, so they're very happy to chip in for ethics. It's about $26,000 a year. So that was good news.
Okay, any update from the General Counsel's office?
No report, thank you.
All right, so subcommittee reports. Let's start with complaints.
The only complaint that we've had since the last time we met is the one that we just handled. So that is my report.
And if I could say something, and Cherry and I were just talking about this, in our procedures it talks about when complaints come in, they get handled by the hotline subcommittee, and then they go to the full commission. Over the last couple years, it totally depends on how you want to do this, but over the last couple years we've shortcutted that. Instead of having the hotline subcommittee get together, the complaint subcommittee, and consider this, and then have to take it to the whole commission again and consider it again, on the shorter, simpler ones, we just jump to the whole commission and just do it all at once in one fell swoop. But I'm happy if you want to divide it into two separate meetings. And certainly if there were a lot of logistics, like how are we going to do this, or you know, what kind of evidence, or how are we going to investigate, if there's logistics, I think it should go to the hotline subcommittee first. If it's something that we can handle with the whole commission in 10 minutes, it seems like it's more efficient to do it that way. But I defer to, you know, what the group wants to do.
To me, it seems that in the past you've consulted with the chair of the mm-hmm. complaints committee, and that's just been a good process, because I can certainly recall that committee meeting in the past when we've had a handful of complaints at one time that might have been mm-hmm. more involved. So I think that consultation, at least my perspective, has worked well.
How about if we do this, that I don't know if it's in our procedure or not, but that if something comes up and it seems like it's appropriate to shortcut it and just have one meeting like we did today, that the procedure is always to check and get the okay from the chair of the complaint committee. And if they say, yeah, that's cool, that's efficient, then we go forward. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know if we did it this time. I think we were too involved with our budget. I think we were too focused on that. So sorry, you know, I think it's a courtesy to consult with the chair on that.
Okay. All right, internal operations.
We met just before this meeting, and we made great progress, I'll have to say. We got through all of our strategic plan goals. We'll struggle with adding new goals. It's easy to edit what's already there. It's difficult to figure out what's missing. But remember, we're just really going through the first pass for the individual committees. The idea is that we provide a draft to the committees for the committees to vet and make sure those are the right overall goals, and that we've got the prioritization correct. And if we get to it next time, we'll be meeting just before our next meeting as well. We'll try to assign some timing to the goals as well, understanding that we can't focus on everything all the time. So what's first? When can that happen? What are we accepting and understanding that is going to be a future goal? As a full commission, we've really struggled to do that, just because it's hard to to make those decisions in a larger group. So the idea is that this subcommittee will do that front-end work, and it's easier to edit than to author. And hopefully that takes each committee much further down the path where we can have that fruitful discussion. So made really good progress today, got through all the goals. We didn't get through the meeting planner, which are those recurring responsibilities of each committee. So we'll do that next time. And as I said, ideally prioritize and attach some timing to those. So look for that after our next meeting. But great progress. Thanks to both of you. And of course, both of you for all your help.
Great. Thanks, Tom. And let me just say I've been so impressed in you starting this process. And I love the fact that, you know, we don't get caught up in it being, you know, this has to happen in January or February. But we see the Ethics Commission as a continual process. And we just continue to work and, you know, build for the future wherever we are in the season. So
well, thank you. As just a productivity hack, I'll call it, what's more important about deciding what to do is deciding what not to do. And that is, if it's a goal, but you're not going to tackle it now, you've got to put that out there because you can't focus on everything. So just that's worked for me personally, and I think it'll work for us as a commission as well to put those things on the back burner and acknowledge that we're not going to focus on them now. But
yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, legislation, anything?
Just with the budget now approved, we're looking forward to tackling some proposed amendments and revisions to our code. And we're ready to meet and discuss this fall.
Excellent. Good. All right. And finally, open government. Anything?
That's me, same here. We will organize a meeting within the next month or, you know, at about the time of the next full commission meeting.
Great. Thanks, George. All right. Anything for unfinished business? Yes.
I just have a comment because we haven't met in 2 months, and, you know, there's not like a flurry of activity right now. And I just wanted to mention, and we talked a little bit about this in strategic planning, the difference between governance and operational. And that's an interesting concept I wasn't really familiar with until I was with city government. But I was thinking about it just to communicate this with you, because if you go back in time 20 years ago when the Ethics Commission was starting and we were active, there was no staff. There was nothing. And so if there was any good idea with ethics, if there was any education, if there was any handout, if any complaint came in, we were it. We were it. There wasn't anything. Now, if you fast forward 20 years, because of the work of the Ethics Commission, because of all the lobbying efforts and convincing City Council, not only do you have two people here, Kirby and I, and we're getting a third person to help with, that's exciting, a third person to help with clerical. We have 9 people in an Inspector General's office coming forward. That's 9, 10, 11, 12. Like 12 positions, you know, that are doing the operational functions of what the Ethics Commission believed in 20 years ago and kind of had to carry all the weight on. And so if there's a lack of, like, a lot of activity and doing all the nitty-gritty detail, it's because you now have staff to do that, which is good. It's a good progression. And so if you have, like, the broader helicopter version of what needs to be done and you give direction to us, where there's 12 of us now, amazing. I wouldn't have thought that 20 years ago. So if you ever feel like you're not getting involved in a whole lot of details or, you know, creating programs, that's why you have us. So I just wanted to mention that just to, so you relax and you, maybe you're relaxed anyhow, but anyhow, I just wanted to thank you for your efforts on the big picture items. You got any details or anything you want to have happen, give it to us. And even like legislation, we spent 2 years in the Ethics Commission going over the Ethics Code. We met like 2 times a month and on and on and on. And now staff, we have 4 attorneys coming together. We're going to do a draft of the conflict of interest thing. We're going to put that together and hand it to you to review and pick apart, but you don't have to do the 2 years of meeting and, you know, and, you know. So keep that in mind when you plan your activities, because we'll pick up the operational work and you do the big picture governance. I offer that.
Yeah, let me actually say it's a luxury that we could not meet, you know, for 2 months over the summer, and that Kirby and Carla were working away. So, and you know, even with the budget stuff, which, you know, we didn't even really have to see, but that you were out there fighting for it. So really appreciate that. Okay, let's go to new business. And, Carla, if I can ask you to just kind of lead us through this portion of the agenda.
And Kirby, you have the information on this, if you could help with this. We on the first one, the selection of chair and vice chair, we usually have that election in November. And it's interesting because we have like some of our favorite members rotating off and some of our new favorite members just got appointed to the Ethics Commission. So if you, in your heart, feel like moving up towards the leadership, we have a lot of people that are kind of at the even level of how many years you've spent here. If you're interested in vice chair or chair, typically people give me a call, let me know. If there's only one person that emerges, that is typically what happens. We usually don't have big fights over it usually. But if you're interested in being chair or vice chair, if you could call Kirby or myself and just talk about the duties and everything, and we'll kind of see how it shapes up. I think in our October meeting, we should have an announcement of who's interested in those positions. And if like six people want to be chair, for instance, we would the chair would elect a nominating committee to make recommendations on that. Typically, we only have one person and one person that wants to be vice chair, but both of those positions will be open because our chair and vice chair are rotating off the end of this month. So be thinking about it in the next month.
End of this year.
What did I say?
End of this month.
Yeah, see, I'm sort of like I'm already on the plane. I've got. Okay, so if you're interested, call Kirby in the next month and just talk to her about the responsibilities and what it entails. Okay, and we all have probably with this group, we all have a chance to be chair and vice chair. You know, just think of how you want to move up on that. And then we'll discuss it again in October, but we'll have it more firmed up on who's expressed an interest. So if you're dying to do it, call Kirby the month of September. Okay, and then process and schedule for forthcoming vacancies on the Ethics Commission. You have a list here, if everybody could take a look. Of who, and actually this is an interesting list because if, help me with this, Kirby, we have, let's take it one at a time.
The ones that are highlighted are the ones that are rotating off this year.
Right, and so we have Ioana has served her first term. She's eligible for a second term as the Ethics Commission appointee, and usually the nominating committee, if someone is interested in serving a second term, that pretty much has in the past always happened if you want to serve a second term.
Logistically on that, when does the nominations committee meet on that? Or
should be meeting in October, I would think. And then we're going to know in the October meeting whether or not how it looks for chair and vice chair if you all express your interest. And then the nominating committee will meet in October and start the process for making the nomination for, there's two from the Ethics Commission, Tom Paul and Ioana Allen. Tom is not eligible to be, he would not be serving. So that will be an open position. And per our rules, we do an announcement in all the press and we reach out to the entire community for that position. And Ioana, the nominating committee would just make a decision on whether or not to nominate her for another term, which I can't imagine why we would not. So that's my editorial comment, sorry.
We don't have a nominating committee?
Not yet, but in October you would appoint one. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, because we just decided to do it as a special
right.
committee, so thank you.
Right. And the person that would fill Tom Paul's position would fill it for 1 year. His term does not end until 2017, so it would be for a partial vacancy to fulfill to December 2017, and next year you would fill that position again.
So one more second on this just to make sure we get all the steps right. Do we need to name a special nominating committee tonight, or can we do that at our October meeting?
You can do it after this meeting. Just think about, just pick three members of the commission, be ready to go for chair, vice chair, for Ioana's renomination and to start the process to open up the one position for Tom.
So thinking about that, just so that we can kind of be careful on, you know, some conflicts of interest, it, certainly if you're up for nomination, you won't be on the nomination committee, you know, so that's Ioana. And then if you if you have an interest in chair or vice chair, it'd be better to give Kirby just at least an indication early on so that we probably won't put you on the nominations committee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll have to kind of see how those numbers work, but it'd be better to hear earlier rather than later so we can get that ball rolling. Okay.
And just sort of as a reminder, last time, the way the process worked last time was that the nominating committee was formed after the September meeting. People volunteered, and Dr. Candler, I believe, chaired that committee, if I recall correctly. and so I publicized the vacancy for 3 weeks, I think, to community organizations, and then we scheduled interviews for the last week of October, and then those people came to, the three that made it out, came to the Ethics Commission meeting in November. So if we want to do a similar process, mm-hmm. that would be the general timeline that you all would adopt if you wanted to, if you were so inclined.
And I thought that process was great, mm-hmm. so I'd be inclined to repeat it.
Okay.
Let's get out a proposed schedule in the next week or two, Kirby, if you could help. Just kind of pick some dates that we can live with, and then we can confirm it in the October meeting and be set to go. We also have, sadly, Joe's term ends, and we have a new public defender, so we'll get word to that person that they need to be thinking about who they want to appoint. And that's it. So Ioana's up for reappointment, and then we have Richard up for reappointment. And
I'm sorry, to clarify that. And you'll reach out to the chief judge on Richard's behalf?
Yes.
Okay.
I typically do. And also, it's good for you to reach out to the chief judge, too. You know, like, I've had such a good time being on the commission, and, you know, here's what I've done. And then I reach out, and then hopefully that, you know, goes real smoothly, too. I can't imagine why it would not. So we theoretically would have two people reappointed, Ioana and Richard, and then a new person coming in from the public defender and opening up Tom Paul's chair to the community.
For Tom's position, it would only be for 1 year. Is that how the bylaws are? It can only fill for one?
I've opted to step down for my last year of my second term. And so, as I understand, it'd be completing my unfinished term.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Happens occasionally like that. It's not automatic with every person like that.
Okay. If no other questions, you want to move on to the next item?
I've been sending you information on Resolution 2016-535. This is something that it was like a hotline tip that came to my attention about the Inspector General's office using $100,000 for furniture and building out an office. And so I asked questions about it. Today, the Inspector General's office made an announcement that they're backing off $75,000 of that and will only do renovations up to $25,000 with security and with their evidence room and stuff. So that's a $75,000 savings. The second issue was, do they come back to City Hall or not? Pros and cons, back and forth on that. You could discuss it all day long, the advantages of them being integrated versus separate. And, you know, so that's really going to be up to the council. My guess is if I were to put money on it, they're going to stay in the Yates building, which is a couple blocks away. And we still continue to work with them on stuff. We're coordinating with them all the time. My preference would be probably to have them here, because I think it would be better. They would be integrated more, and instead of having a remote lockdown building, I think that presents more fear to people. People feel more relaxed if they know you and they trust you and they give you more tips. But there's research on both sides of that coin on which way is most effective. Anyhow, so that's the current status of the bill. I think it's going to be deferred for about a month. Ultimately, I think they're going to stay where they are, but not get all new furniture and all new build outs and spend $100,000. It'll be $75,000 less.
Was that the old inspector general that made that decision?
Yes. Yes, and I. It's an interesting philosophical discussion. If you have a city budget, let's say your budget is $300,000 for the year, and you see that there's $50,000 left at the end of the year for whatever reason, the government thing, as you all know, you've all like, it's like you got to spend your $50,000, you don't get the money the next year. My thought is that if you save the $50,000 because you bring people on at different times or you hire people different, if you've saved $50,000, you save it for the taxpayers, you give it back to them. That's not the way usually people think
about
it.
Especially if you're in the inspector general's office, right?
Saving money. And then, you know, like Kirby and I scrounged for used furniture around the city. New furniture? Wow, that's an interesting concept. I think if we have city desks around, if they've got legs and they're standing, you use the used furniture. But that's, you know, just one viewpoint of many viewpoints. So anyhow, that looks like it's resolving, and we're certainly cooperating with the IG's office, and they're moving along. They're hiring some more people. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, any public comment, gentlemen?
Oh, you know what? We have another page.
Yeah, that's
Did I miss that?
That's the topic, actually.
Oh, I did. Yeah, you know what?
But that's the issue.
Yeah.
So we'll listen to some public comment on public comment.
That's the issue. If you recall, I sent you some information on where there's a new law now that City Council passed that if you approach City Council to speak, you have to say, hello, my name's Carla Miller, and my home address, and you list your home address. And you know, so that was a discussion on that issue for the commission on if you want to make a recommendation on that, your pros, your thoughts on it.
My first time really being familiarized with that point. However, my visceral reaction is that is that we should not endorse that.
You know, if I might, if we can take this a little out of order, because I'm guessing Mr. Merkel or Mr. Nooney may have some thoughts on this. So if you'd like to kind of come up for public comment on this now, and yeah, sure.
If you're coming up in front of City Council, you have to announce your name and your home address.
Yeah, I don't feel obligated to speak. I know Mr. Nooney was racing up here, so why don't we let him come up first? So,
all right. Well, thank you, you know, for allowing me, you know, just to address this topic. And if I may, it's public comment at City Council, City Boards, and City Commission meetings. And my understanding is that it's changing, that you're only going to be allowed to speak at one on a particular ordinance. Let's say it goes to rules, finance, PHS, you know, the public hearing at the city council meeting. You're only going to be allowed to speak at one of those public hearings, not all of them. And I think that is a tremendous disservice. So when you are discussing this, not only is it your name and address, but I think the bigger issue is, will you be not denied public comment through the legislative process as it goes through the various committees?
Where are you getting that from? Has that already been
drafted?
Or?
That was discussed by Lori Boyer. It was preliminary, And right now it is being considered. I don't know if it's been drafted as per legislation, but it is almost a policy that is being, you know, suggested. And I just hope that, that when you're discussing this, you know, with this in ethics, that you do allow for public comment through the entire legislative process, whatever committee or subcommittee that it should be presented for. That's my real concern on this. And thank you. Thank you for letting me share that.
How do they – I have a question real quick, if you don't mind. How do they keep track of who spoke at what meeting?
Well, you know, that is a good question.
Thank you.
And, you know, it was all you have to do is speak once, and it'll be recognized. So –
But Mr. Nooney, do you have to fill out a card at the boards and commission meetings? So you fill something out before you speak at each one of these so they can keep track of it that way, I would guess.
Yep. But again, this is a new policy going forward. This but
has it always been required that you complete the card?
Well, the card, I'm just saying that in the past you were allowed to speak at all the different committees because, again, you have different information that you could then share with various different board members that are not just council members. And but going forward, if you just speak and to your question, how will they keep track? You know, all you have to do is just speak once and you will be barred from speaking at any other of that.
Let's do this if we can. I don't know if our general counsel's office has taken a look at this legislation, because that would probably be a good authority to tell us how it would work or how it's going to be enforced, if you know.
I don't have the legislation before me right now, so I can't really tell you, but I can take a look at it and provide information at the next meeting.
Or Carla?
Just to clarify, there was a bill that was passed in March saying that someone has to come up with their address. Remember a couple years ago, the Ethics Commission pushed for the right of the public to be able to comment at every meeting of city government. And at the same time, the state legislature passed it. So we didn't have to go forward with ours because the state legislature said people have the right to speak at all committee and board meetings. But only at the public hearing on the bill. So a bill comes up, Bill 52. There is an official under state law public hearing for Bill 52. And the lawyers would have a fun time with this. The legislative subcommittee may want to delve into it. But there's a difference between speaking at the public hearing on that bill and just general public comment at the end of the meeting where you can talk about anything in the world that you want to talk about. So the rule is being interpreted that in your public hearing on Bill 52, you don't have to give your address, but you do in the regular public comment because, gosh, we want to know where people live, if they're in my district or not. There's some arguments for that, but truly it's chilling for some people, the people that have complained to my office, like, really, I have to give my home address? I mean, I don't mind saying that I live in San Marco, but to give my home address, if you're talking on a controversial issue and it's on TV, really? Are you going to give your home address? I don't think so. So, I think that this could be a crucial issue for the Ethics Commission to drill down on and see. OGC is drawing lines here like, well, you know, we can make the statute, like, if it narrowly defined on public hearings on that bill only, and then all the other public comment, we can demand their addresses. So there's nuances here that only lawyers would love on pulling it apart, but someone needs to pull it apart on behalf of the citizens.
Are you telling me that there's something in the Jacksonville Municipal Code that says you have to give your address for a public comment?
Yes, the law was passed a few months ago, a city council law.
So before, a few months ago, you didn't have to?
It wasn't a law you had to, but they did require, please state your name and address, and most people would, and then I think one or two people said, no, I don't want to give my home address. realize that lobbyists and people that come up here, that the professional lobbyist just give an office address. Great. How about your home address? I mean, if we're going to have home addresses, make it equal. So before, it was the practice, but some people refused to do it, and then the law went into place. You must.
There was a law passed by council that said you
March,
have to give
April.
Mm-hmm. I mean, has anyone challenged it? I'm just curious if a lawsuit's been filed.
There have been people that have complained to me about it. A lawsuit has not been filed. There have been complaints. I think concerned taxpayers, you know, are real. You know, they're the ones always at the city council meetings wanting to comment. It's like, well, I'm sorry, you already commented on Bill 52. Well, now you have to give your home address.
How is the controversy on that going to play out? How is the enforcement mechanism going to go into play on that?
I know. Have a citizen do that. You have to have a citizen do that. Most of them will just be chilled from even speaking to begin with.
Just for a clarification, prior to public commenting beginning, at least as I saw it at a city council meeting, the floor leader reads a statement about public comment. And one of the statements the floor leader says is to have the privilege of the floor, you must provide your name and address. That's correct.
And that's from the new law that got
passed. And then they say that you also have to fill out this blue speaker card, and you have to bring it forward, and you get 3 minutes. There's all kinds of limitations that they're allowed to do, but there has been a new statement that's been written for the floor leader to read prior to public comment, and that is one of the parts that says you must provide your name and home address to get the privilege of the floor to speak.
The speaker info card has the home address information on it.
Correct.
But yes. There's also a question on whether or not you can require that under Florida law. Like, why? Why? Hmm. Now, if you're taking a vote on something and it's a real contentious issue for San Marco, for instance, and a lobbyist for the other side brings in busloads of people from Orange Park just to speak against it, well, that might be interesting to know that these are all Orange Park people who've been bussed in. I mean, there is, but you can say, do you live in the affected area, right, without having to give a home address? So I wonder if there isn't an advocacy role, or at least drilling down on this a little bit to make sure that the citizens' rights are protected and we don't have a bunch of people. It's hard enough to get people to come to city council meetings and care enough about issues to comment on them. And then you give any kind of like pushback, like when you do a public records request, you can't ask the person for their name or their address.
Right.
Now it's a chilling effect on public records. Then why isn't it on public comment?
Is the question card public record afterwards?
Yes.
The question card with their address is public.
Blue card, yeah.
It's in the minutes of the city council.
Yes, going back to our overall goals, goal number two, built public trust, this goes against that completely. And so it sounds like we should drill down deeper into this, and I don't know if that's a full commission. We tend to do better in a committee level and then have it vetted by the full commission, but it sounds like we need to dive in deeper.
Committee issue or legislative?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we can. So what's the status of this right now? It's just ongoing. So there's nothing that is before city council to repeal it, right?
No.
Okay, so if we had a voice to it, we'd be lobbying that voice in on it just as it's moving along. I mean, nothing's going. We just, right.
Right, I would think the first step is for someone in the Ethics Commission General Counsel, Peggy Sidman, I think, would be the person who designed that particular thing for City Council, because she's counsel for
Council.
And really get an understanding of it, and then bring it back to the Commission with a recommendation on what do we recommend, and, you know, and advocate for whatever you recommend. It could be, hey, you know, we talked to a couple City Council people. I mean, I haven't heard too many good ideas, good reasons for it. There could be. And make a recommendation and then follow it through. But just because there's a law, that doesn't mean the law can't be changed or that someone can't introduce a new law. Or you know that the Ethics Commission has the power under the code. If you draft something up from the Ethics Commission, it goes right to the City Council President to be introduced as directly from the Ethics Commission. You have the power to put things directly in front of City Council. To do, and you put something in front and say, we
having to give their address, and that's the position. And then the argument, you know, gets argued in the public, and we get the issue determined.
Which city council member, like, really pushed for this?
Yeah, the sponsor.
Who was the sponsor for that?
John Crescent was the sponsor.
Okay.
Do we know what other major cities have regarding something similar, or they don't have anything? I'm just curious what other cities around Florida do.
Yeah, as far as I know, no other city has done what Florida has done. They're following the state law, which is you allow for public comment, but it might be interesting for the committee to take a look at two or three of the other major cities in Florida to see if they put any restrictions. What do they do if someone wants to speak in front of the council or commission? What do they do?
Before that, this ordinance went into effect, what was... Was there a time limit or anything?
3 minutes.
Was that by law, too, or is that just custom?
I think it's in the city council rules.
It's a, yeah, council rule.
So this
it's
actually code, been this,
gone
this
down
ordinance
from
put
five
that
or something.
As a rule of law in Jacksonville.
Right.
Is there a jurisdictional or standing issue here wherein we need to establish some kind of base in order to have the right to speak to council, or is this merely a question of weighing the balances and the merits of what we're going to get by requiring that information be spoken or by permitting someone to withhold it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
But often the objective may be a worthy one, but the approach may not be needed.
There may
absolutely be a more appropriate way to say, you know, I'm in council member so-and-so's district.
A lot of room to compromise.
I'm in this
district
code.
So-and-so.
I'm in district so-and-so. Exactly.
But like, give me your driver's license. You know, I mean,
right.
How far do you go
right.
Before someone has the right to address a government official?
Right.
You know, so it's
for 3 minutes.
Yeah, for 3 minutes. I mean, you can really listen to anybody for 3 minutes. So.
But Mr. Nooney's comment about being able to address the subject only once is very concerning to me as well.
I have not heard that, and that would concern. Certainly worthy of any. It's a worthy issue for the Ethics Commission to take up, and maybe you know, if it's assigned to a committee or like a special joint committee between two of the committees, and really have them meet with some people and think with it and meet the month of September, I think it would be very worthwhile to do.
Well, yeah. So I have a couple thoughts. I agree with that, and I also agree with your comment that this is the kind of discussion that goes really well at the commission, at the full commission, because everyone here will have some thought and input. And it may be, depending on kind of how far we go down the road, be something where we even want, you know, the councilman to come in and speak himself on it, you know, and other people. So we need to kind of think about, you know, letting all the voices participate in this before, you know, we set out with, you know, a resolution or something. So I'd make a couple suggestions. One would be, you know, I'd give first dibs to Brian or George if either one of you have an inclination to want to lead this effort. I mean, you know, speak up. I think that'd probably be best. Yeah.
I mean, certainly our committee can handle it.
Okay.
I think it's in the wheelhouse of what we do anyway. So sure.
Okay, that'd be great. And then I think you can just work with Kirby and Carla, to since, you know, with her travels, that, you know, if we can have something at the October meeting, whatever it is, you know, whether it's a status update, whether you want to have a speaker or someone come in and bring us information, whether, you know, we have general counsel's office that can weigh in, you know, extensively, or the city council staff, I think all that would be really good, because I don't think we want any more time just to kind of go on, you know, on the issue if we're going to have a voice to speak into it. So, okay, excellent. Okay, great. Mr. Nee, I'll come back to you after, at the end, we can do some general public comment. Okay, thank you. All right, let's just bang out some of these logistics if we can. So, Ioana, did you have a couple dates on the holiday gathering?
Check your calendars.
good?
As am I. You got a conflict?
Nope.
No? Anybody in disagreement for the 12th?
Good.
The 12th it is. It's a date. Okay, I'll confirm it with the...
Excellent.
You want to step out right now and book it?
Even better. Lots of appetizers, free wine.
See what I can do. So what time do we want to do?
Yeah. Okay, who's got the next one, the invitation?
So the pastor at Grace Episcopal Church reached out to Carla about a fall lecture series she's doing in ethics, and she was interested in learning more about the ethics office and the ethics program for the city, and invited Carla or a member of the commission to speak one Wednesday night in her lecture series. So we were wondering if there would be any interest in anyone from the commission.
Or Kirby, former chair of the commission.
I'm happy to attend, but...
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Excellent. When is that, by the way?
To be determined.
Great. Okay, and last item, update on the IG selection. Ioana, you want to speak to that? Oh, yeah, please.
Ioana, Joe was unable to make the IG selection committee thing, and he appointed Ioana to represent him. She did an unbelievable job. She spent days going through all past minutes and records of the IG selection committee. I mean, she met with Kirby and I for about an hour to make sure she was fully briefed on everything. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's fully. And then at the meeting, they're all sitting there. They're sort of quiet. Starts like really taking a very active role. I was just thrilled with your participation. You did a great job.
Hey, let me just chime in because it's a significant committee. I mean, you've got the mayor's chief of staff. You've got True Commission, I believe. You've certainly got the city council president, state attorney. So I really appreciate Ioana, you stepping up there and doing it. And doing
that. Sat with all of those people and just kicked tail.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for all of those kind words.
Sorry. So basically, the concern, I guess the question was the quality of the applicants who had actually applied for the position, and the consensus basically was that the group felt like if we maybe allowed for some additional time to repost for the position, that perhaps applicants who may be a better fit would actually apply. I can just share that just even in looking through the initial stack, I was just blown that even, some of these people even met the minimum requirements. Like, it just, I would not have signed on to support any of that. And so there was pretty much consensus with regard to that. And so we basically decided to re-advertise. We also talked about like some events that happen nationally in terms of conferences that typically draw the type of audience that we would seek to be in a pool of applicants, and how we can reach them and share, this opportunity that exists in our city. And so the process was restarted. I think it closes, when does it close? Today. And so, yeah, that was basically it. There were a couple of people, one or two, I think, who had applied originally the first time, who were interested again and actually made it to that point. But quite frankly, that's basically what I said. I just felt like they were just not really what I thought should happen. So that's essentially it. So I'm happy to fill in this week as well. if you need me, you know, let me know. My schedule is pretty flexible for the most part, so I was happy to be able to help. And I thought I did horribly, so when Miss M was like, "You did great," I was like, because it was just so much silence, so I thought I had done horribly, but she felt really different. So, yeah, nobody was saying anything, and I was like, let's get this show on the road. So, yeah.
That's great. Well, I'm going to confess right now, I told Carla I have to leave at 6:15. My older son has got his first Boy Scout meeting at 6:30, so I need to go take him to that. So if I can hand over the gavel to Tom Paul. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think we're up to public comment. Any public comment? I think both of you have public comment. Mr. Markle, why don't you go first?
Conrad Markle, concerned taxpayers of Duval County. 1146 Romney Street. I wasn't planning on speaking on the public comment aspect, but there are a couple of things. Having watched this thing the last several months as it's gyrated around the protests at the city council about giving names. This really, I think, was probably another one of the things that was instigated by our Vice President, Kurt Lee, who loves to see what he can stir up. He evoked quite a reaction out of President Anderson when they first pulled it, because they wanted to start an adversarial type thing about you will identify properly and so on. And I believe it was Ms. Sidman got into it and pointed out that if a person is known, even if it's only by a post office box address, and this is in the very beginning of all this, that was supposed to be technically satisfactory for the requirement. But it's like Carlo and Kirby and Ray were talking a while ago. This thing has evolved so far now until I'm not even entirely sure. I do know that one thing that brings the reaction out is there are people who are really paranoid about anybody knowing where they really can be found. And, you know, they may be bill collectors or enforcers or something. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't want anybody to be able to find them. And that's why, you know, it's like Ms. Sidman said, the legal dictum of a place where they can be legally contacted, I think, is supposed to be the way the original law was written. But there's a thing going on right now that John was alluding to a while ago. It's worrisome since Ms. Boyer has become president of the city council, and she is brilliant. She is really one of the most energetic people I've ever known, but she likes to tinker with things. And right now she's tinkering with how they can parse and play with the amount of time they give people for public comment. And one suggestion that I heard that got my attention was she had an idea that, well, if we were to take a survey before with the cards, and we had four people that want to speak on a given subject, we could take all the time allocated for that subject and divide it by four. Well, if they're also talking about 3 minutes to speak on it, that means in 45 seconds you're going to have to do what you were planning on doing and the way it is now, the way it's structured now with the 3 minutes to speak, which is very, very tight. But this is all, it seems like it's just a tinkering process. I mean, from what I've seen in the hearings and so on. But what I wanted to speak on was primarily was the situation with the IG and the IG movement. I'm the only person from the public who has been attending the IG Selection Committee hearings, which certain members, I don't think, judging by the expression on their face, that they're real happy that anybody is there from the public. But I have been there doggedly, and I have been speaking. One thing that I've been adamant about is Tom Klein, the day that he left, stated that they should only consider hiring from without. He came from Washington. They should only bring somebody in from the outside. Ms. Boyer has been playing with this idea of there being qualified people who already, she's really into this institutional thing about people who know how Jacksonville city government is constructed. Well, for what an IG does, the most self-defeating thing you could do is appoint somebody who has had connectives with either the city government or the so-called autonomous independent authorities that we have so much trouble with, because an IG is a very special personality that's going to have to be willing to cut past any points of influence or whatever and patronage, which is rampant in this town, and go ahead and dig into something that has really been brought to bear that needs to be opened up and exposed. And I have been adamant about that. Public comment comes into this because at the last meeting of this committee, Ms. Boyer pulled a thing where at the beginning of the meeting she says, "Mr. Markle, do you have a public comment?" And I'm going, "How could I? We haven't discussed anything, or you haven't discussed anything yet." I just wasn't prepared at all. So I turned in a speaker card, and I told Ms. Green from the IG department, the investigator, when I turned the card into her, I said, "I want it to be clear on the record that I stand behind what Tom Klein emphasized about only hire from without, don't hire from within." The minutes come out and it says Mr. Markle turned in a speaker card that was blank or something to that effect. So I intend to try and get that corrected Thursday at that meeting. That's not the way public comment is supposed to be recorded. And I don't want to speak like an authority on anything because I'm simply a member of the taxpaying public. But the other thing that I really wanted to say something about was this thing about where the IG should be located. I didn't know they had moved over to the Yates building almost a year ago. At the meet and greet a year ago, they were in the same office with you guys, and I assumed they were still up there. But anyway, I can understand why being removed from this building, and we've discussed this among the ranks of the members of the concerned taxpayers. If you've got city employees who are really onto something that's going on, there's waste, fraud, and abuse, and so on, they're not going to be wanting to be seen coming in and out of headquarters down here. This is the worst building in Jacksonville that a city employee who may be a whistleblower would want to be seen coming and going from. That's the main reason why I see the benefit of it being, the Ed Ball building is actually almost too close because it's right across Hemming Park. But the Yates building being a half a mile away, 6 blocks away, I would think is a safe distance. What I did not like that came out was this thing about this preposterous amount of money that apparently had been shuffled through without anybody knowing it, that Steve Rohan, the IG, interim IG, that I protested because he's just not what an IG should be, he simply said when they asked him about it that anything less than $500,000 in his 30 years in city government was just business as usual. You don't question anything that's less than a $500,000 expenditure. That's not a very good IG attitude. But there was a mention of a $3,000 basic budget to, I guess, spruce up, furnish or whatever. I would think that moving over there and holding them to the absolute most basic budget possible, the way the new mayor has been flagrantly throwing around salaries and everything, we need to be doing some budgeting somewhere. He certainly hasn't been bashful in his own office up there. So that's my public comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nooney? Does.
And more. John Nooney, 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216. District 4, School Board District 3, House District 12, Senate District 4, Congressional District 4. I'm just telling people, man, the public trust, I have to say, it's just crushed. Just absolutely crushed. And, especially when it gets to the public comment. When I was alluding to you before, I went to this morning's NCIS meeting, right after the break. And, again, when I share with you that with public comment on a piece of legislation, you're only going to be allowed to speak once. So it's like you have to pick and choose. Now, the thing is, before this was implemented, I spoke on two different bills and attended an NCIS committee meeting, because this is brand new. We broke it down. You got RCD, PHS. I mean, this is brand new. So it's not hard to track. And I was prepared right now to come up here with three ethics complaints. It's almost like I feel like I just can't keep up. I mean, if anything, I think that, the corruption right now is about to really, in a way, in my opinion, ratchet up. At the Waterways Committee meeting, I filled out a speaker card. And you can pull it. In fact, I was there this morning. I was not allowed to speak. First time ever in 10 plus years. Let me share this with you. This is the 6/21/16 Lunch and Learn. Now, this, I became aware of this at a Waterways meeting. It was just put on the table just like that. And you know what? You know who was there? Two executive directors of the water management districts, 9 city council members. And I go, here it is, announcement. Lunch and learn event, topic, North Florida Regional Water Supply Partnership, what it means to Jacksonville, But anyway, and here's Dr. Chertel. But, the point is, go and see, is there even a sign-up sheet? I'm thinking, who's putting this on? Where's it coming from? That's just another example. But to get back to what, going forward, I really want to present an ethics complaint on this, because I was looking for my speaker card, because before it took effect, I was recognized and filled out a speaker card, spoke to legislation, not only during the full city council meeting, but then at the subcommittee meetings. So going forward, and today I was refrained. Well, I just took a position where I just didn't want to fill out a speaker card and just say, all right, Mr. Nooney, you spoke, now you can't speak again. And so you have to pick and choose, and that is absolutely not right. And I'm going to be looking, and you see if my speaker card is there for the legislation I spoke to. And let me just say, too, with the Waterways Commission meeting, when I was denied, I went up to Legislative Services. You know what? They couldn't find my speaker card. Well, you know what? I had a copy of it on my phone. And you know what? Wow, they found my speaker card. This is the public record. This is happening to me. And I can only imagine for those people who may not be as familiar with how, the public trust in our due process of the legislative process should work. So anyway, but going forward, I hope that I can just say, hey, I was at the Ethics Commission, the board, put me down. If you want to deny me to speak on this piece of legislation at any other board and just give me one shot, I will defer to the Ethics Commission. What happens? Because you only meet once a month. This stuff is every day. Thank you for listening.
Seeing no other public comment, I believe we need to set our next meeting. And what's the plan, Carla, with your travel in terms of when should we plan to meet next? Stick with October, Monday, October 3rd.
Yeah.
Does that work for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's when it will be. And on a related note, the Internal Operations Committee will meet at 4 o'clock before that. If anybody wants to join us, feel free. With that, meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Monday, October 3rd.
Hey,
excuse me, October.
how big is the purse?